A magnetic personality is a skill. It can be learned. People don't believe that. Oh, I'm too shy. I can't have a magnetic personality. Yes, you can. Take out a piece of paper and write down the things that describe somebody who has a magnetic personality. They smile, they laugh, they're friendly. You write all those things down and do it. I mean, anyone can smile.
Welcome to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. I'm your host, Candice Ridardi, and today I'm joined by author and chicken wing aficionado, Tommy Wyatt. A former sports editor, Tommy joined network marketing in 1998 and built a global business. Over the past 25 years in the profession, he developed into a top presenter and trainer. In 2010, he wrote Appreciation Marketing, How to Achieve Greatness Through Gratitude, which became a number one national bestseller. He has trained sales professionals in the principles of the book around the world. In 2020, he founded Wing Addicts and created the world's largest social network of chicken wing enthusiasts. He has two grown daughters and lives in Connecticut with his wife of 30 years and two awesome dogs. Welcome, Tommy.
Thank you.
So
Thank you.
normally I start my interview by saying, tell us your story. But right now I'm going to tell a story.
Okay.
All right. And I've told you this story before, but the audience hasn't heard it yet. So about 12 years ago, I saw you and your co-author, Curtis Lucy, present Appreciation Marketing at an event with my friend Joy. And we were both like, wow, this stuff is great. So we started a weekly networking event where we basically taught the principles of your book every week in a little coffee. We called Joy named it Follow Up Friday. And we just taught people about following up and using the principles of your book. We did that for years. For years, we ran these weekly meetings. And I think they actually, I moved away from tech. I left Texas in 2017. And I think those meetings were still running until the pandemic. So for 10 years, for 10 years, a weekly Friday coffee based on the books of the principles of your book. And so I'd never met you. I never met you. And then just by chance, I ran into you in Orlando in October. And I got to tell you that story in person. And then you blew my mind and you told me about this chicken wing thing that you're doing. And I'm like, you turned your addiction to chicken wings into a business and you don't have to cook any chicken wings. So I'm super excited to hear that story and everything. So Tommy Wyatt, now that my story is over, share your story. How'd you get to where you are today?
Thank you. Oh my gosh. An hour's not long enough for that answer. First of all, I'm just thrilled to hear that introduction because you know what? That's really what life's all about. It's about a ripple effect. Can you do something good and have some type of a ripple where, you know, it outlasts you on this planet? And, you know, we don't really start thinking about that stuff until we start getting old and you see all the grays coming in here. So I'm starting to think about stuff like that. And, I actually have been for quite some time. I mean, my story is really, it's probably one in a billion. I don't think anybody can say they have a story like mine. Obviously we all have a lot of similarities. You know what, but I grew up as a kid who, I guess my number one personality trait is that I hate being told what to do. I hate authority. It made me a not so great son. It made me a horrible student. It made me a horrible employee. I don't react well to authority in any way, and I don't know where that came from. I just don't know. But you know what? I did learn at a young age that I can manifest whatever I want. That I have 100% control over this computer in my head called my brain, and I can make it do whatever I want. And when I learned that, and I learned it in a profound way, maybe I'll tell that story in a little bit, I don't know. But once I learned that, I said, you know what? People live these amazing lives. Why not me? And I guess the common tales that the parents would tell the kids when I was a kid is you go to school, you go to college, you get an education, you follow, you know, you pick a career, you work hard, and then you retire and have your golden years. And I was just that guy where if you told me it was night, I would prove to you it was day. So while my parents were trying to teach me to do the right things, their efforts were in vain because when they would tell me to do something, I would say, I'm going to find a different way. I'm going to find a better way. That's just my personality. That's just the way I do it. So, I look back you'll probably enjoy this because think about it with me. When I was a kid, some of the best feelings you have when you're a kid, at least I live up here in the Northeast. I was in New York when I was little. I'm in Connecticut now. When I was a little kid, I remember the feeling of waking up on a school day and it was snowing. And we'd run to the radio or the TV and turn it on to see if school got canceled. And it had to be the greatest feeling in the world when school was canceled. You didn't have to go to school. You could watch cartoons, or you could go out and play football in the snow, or you could, unfortunately, I would have to shovel my driveway. But that was, a tiny little bit of pain. It wasn't that big a driveway. But that was one of the greatest feelings as a kid, or the feeling where you wake up on and you're getting ready for school, and then you realize, oh my gosh, it's Saturday. I don't have to go to school today. That happened just a couple of times, usually, but that's a great feeling when you're a kid. When I became a teenager and a young adult and I would go to work, you know what my favorite feeling was? When I got out of work. You know that feeling when the workday's over and you get in your car and you start going home, like
Yeah.
Fred Flintstone sliding down the dinosaur, yabba dabba doo. That's the gr was the greatest feeling when I was out there in the workforce. So I said, wouldn't it be awesome to have a life where that was how you felt every day, all the time? Imagine waking up every day like it was a snow day. If you don't want to, you don't have to do anything.
I can
You can
totally
just do
imagine
whatever you
that.
want.
I can totally
And,
imagine that. Yeah.
you know, and so I went to work trying to do that. I said, that's what I want to do. That's going to be what I do with my life. And I didn't know how. I just kept moving forward, but that was always in the vision. That was always the way it was going to happen. And it happened because of a friend inviting me to network marketing, which I didn't know what it was. I'd never heard of network marketing before. I didn't know it existed. But what I loved about it was the part where you get to call all the shots. You can't get fired. No, you have no boss. If you want to work hard, you can. And I'm not afraid of hard work. But you don't have to do things you don't want to do. And I love that. And then when I realized that it also included building teams and empowering others, that's when I started to get into personal development and started to read personal development books and learn the craft. I mean, I didn't know network mark. First of all, I didn't know what it was, of course, but I didn't know it was a craft and something you can learn. But that's what happened. And I as I learned it, and the more I would read and read and read, I would just read anything I could get my hands on. It was before the internet. So, I was a reader first before I could Google things.
So I want to. I have so many questions. First of all,
Yeah.
you do have to tell the story about how you've discovered that you can manifest it. But we're going to put that for a little bit. I'm from California. I didn't ever have a snow day. Never. I
That's
don't share that childhood experience with you at all. So what the hell are you talking about? But we also sunshine and blue skies every day. We would more likely than not, we'd be sitting outside on the grass taking learning about Shakespeare than we were in the classroom. So completely different experience. And it was groovy. I loved it. Okay, so that was a total tangent. I was gonna go back to you were talking about living in your own. Oh, okay. So you said in network marketing, you don't have to do the things that you don't want to do. And I'm gonna push back just a little bit. I'm just gonna push back. Because you do have to talk to people. And if you can't talk to people, you're never gonna make it in network marketing.
Well, that's fact.
You want to talk
And
about that?
yeah, but what's cool is you don't have to talk to people you don't want to talk
Oh,
to.
that's well,
Talk to.
okay. All right. So think about this. I want from the come at it from the angle of a person who's extremely shy but has big vision and wants to talk to Tommy Wiseau but doesn't know how. How does a super shy person who might know you a little itty bitty bit approach Tommy Wiseau or somebody like you?
Now, I don't know if everybody feels this way, but I love it when people come up and say hi to me. I love it. People are people. I think everybody, what I was shy, When I was back in my school days, I wasn't a popular kid. I was, the guy just being quiet, looking for somebody to accept me and bring me into the group and whatever. I think we all kind of have that. And we kind of, I don't want to say fake it, but there are comfort zones in life. If you're uncomfortable speaking to people, just start out by smiling. People, I think everybody wants to, when you go to a wedding and you sit down at a table and you don't know anybody and you sit there and it's awkward and uncomfortable and you just eat your food and then you get up and go stand by the bar or whatever, everybody there is thinking the exact same thing. Boy, it would be cool if we could talk to each other. Smile and say, "Hey, hi, I'm Tom." That's what I always say. "Hi, I'm Tommy. What's your name?" "Oh, really?
So
Where are you from?" It's uncomfortable at first, but it's not uncomfortable after a little while.
when we met, I had a couple of people with me, and I went, I want to go meet Tommy Wyatt. I saw you across the room. I said, I want to go meet Tommy Wyatt. Come on, let's go meet Tommy Wyatt, or let's go talk to Tommy Wyatt. And they just assumed I knew you because I introduced them to you. And that's the way I look at it. I'm like, well, they don't know that he didn't know me. So why don't I be the one that introduces the, Tommy
Was
didn't know
anybody
me
ever
from.
rude when you came up and said hi and introduced yourself? Was anybody ever rude? Get away from me.
There have been a couple of instances where people there were a couple, and
Were there?
and in the long run, these people that I thought that were pretty groovy ended up not being as groovy as I thought they were. It's a little disappointing and deflating when you discover that somebody that you admire is actually a jerk.
Yeah, well, as Jim Rohn always used to say, there's only like 10 of those people in the whole world, and you ran into a couple of them.
Yeah.
They move around a lot.
They move around a lot. But the thing is, I come at it from the angle of I collect people, right? Because I never know who I'm gonna meet that loves chicken wings is gonna need to meet you, right? You just never know. Tomorrow I might meet somebody who owns a chicken wing shop, right? And they're gonna need to meet you. Actually, I know two people who own chicken wing shops. I need to introduce them to you.
You
See what I
do.
just did? I just did it. See what I did without even thinking about it.
Little
And
top of
that
mind awareness.
it, exactly. And that is okay, so talk about that, 'cause that's in your book.
Well, gosh, the book, it came to me because of all the things I learned. And I learned that, no matter what you do for a living, your life, even if you don't work, your life is exceedingly better if you have a magnetic personality, if you're a person who's magnetic and outgoing. And you know what? It's interesting that a magnetic personality is a skill. It can be learned. People don't believe that. "Oh, I'm too shy. I can't have a magnetic personality." Yes, you can. Take out a piece of paper and write down the things that describe somebody who has a magnetic personality. They smile, they laugh, they're friendly. You write all those things down and do it. I mean, anyone can smile,
Yeah.
and anyone can, wave to somebody on the street. Anybody can do that, but people are afraid to do it. Everyone's afraid. You talked about, the top of mind awareness thing right there with the chicken wings. But the truth is, and this is kind of the most important value that I like to teach in from the book, not only the importance of gratitude and appreciation and saying thank you, but the fact, and it is a fact, that the greatest asset we have in this world are the people that we meet and the relationships that we build. If
Absolutely.
you are a people collector, like you said, and you lose everything tomorrow, you can start to build it back the very next day because it isn't what you had and what you had done. It's who you are and who you know. And we can
Absolutely.
collect people all the time. I've got business cards all over the place, and I keep them in folders because I want to remember all the people, and I try to reach out and poke them as much as I can. But gosh, when you get so many, it gets to be a difficult thing to do. And why don't people do those things? The same reason why everybody's not successful in the world is fear. It's fear, and it's irrational fear. Irrational fear. You know what? You need to. The best way to get over your fear is to realize how silly your fear actually is. What am I afraid of? What's holding me back? If I could do anything I want in the whole world and I knew I couldn't fail, what would I do differently than I'm doing right now? And you'll have your answer. And why aren't you doing that thing? And the answer is fear, and the fear is irrational. And you know, the best way to kind of explain that is, you know, I look back and when I was a little baby, when a little boy being potty trained. Okay, this will
You
be
can
the potty
remember
portion.
this?
Oh yeah, this is the potty portion of our program today.
Ooh, potty portion.
When I started to develop irrational fears, and those irrational fears controlled my life for probably until I was 12 years old. Okay. And I didn't know they were irrational at the time. But this will feed into the story about how I learned to empower myself. So when I was little and learning and being potty trained, my uncle was over and he said, he came into the, I can remember vividly. I don't know how old I was, two. How old are you when you're potty trained? I
Yeah,
forget.
about two or three,
But I
yeah.
can vividly remember we had a green bathroom. We had a green toilet. And I remember getting, I was afraid. I was a little skinny boy. And my uncle came into the room and he said, "Hold on tight. If you fall in, we'll never see you again."
Oh,
He said
no.
that. And he
Oh,
thought that
no.
was hilarious. He thought that was hilarious.
Oh,
But you know what my
no.
mind said? Really?
I'm gonna
Like
get
I could
flushed down the
fall in
toilet.
there? I
Oh,
could fall in.
man.
I could go down that hole. Would it been... So because of that, I was petrified to sit on the back on the toilet. I was afraid to go to the bathroom. So what did I do? Well, my mind looked for a way out. And what I would do was I would go poopy in the house someplace. Now, I was baffled how my parents knew it was me because I know nobody saw me. And then after getting caught a few times, then I started to pull out the sofa. I was strong enough to do that, pull out the couch, go behind the couch, push the couch back. Then I was baffled how they could find it. Oh, I wasn't that smart as a kid. But then when they did find it, I would say, it wasn't me. I didn't do it because I was embarrassed. Not because I was a liar and a bad person. I was embarrassed. I was afraid to go on the toilet. I was embarrassed in front of my parents that I went on the floor. And so I lied. And then guess what happened next? My parents, it was all good intentions, told me the story about the boy who cried wolf. And we all know that fable. Aesop's fable. The boy who cried wolf so many times, eventually the townspeople didn't believe him, and the wolf came down and gobbled him up. All right. Guess what happened when they told me that story? Recurring nightmares, probably for the next 7 years, probably almost every night, about me being outside in my backyard playing on my swing set, and I hear a noise and I look up and I see a little dot in the distance, and down it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's a wolf. And I turn to try to run away and I can't go anywhere. And I wake up right as the wolf grabs me, horrified of wolves. Now, both of these fears are completely irrational. A, that I'm going to fall in the potty and disappear. And two, that wolves are going to come and eat me. Completely irrational. I've still to this day, I'm 59, I've never seen a wolf. Irrational fears, but they controlled my life. What silly fears does any person who's watching this have that are holding them back from their greatness? Is it worse than being eaten by a wolf or being flushed down the toilet? I doubt it. But in any event, I'll go on about this story forever, I guess. But how did I break out of it? How did I learn how to empower myself? And how did I learn that my mind controls everything? It's quite awesome. When I was about probably 10 or 11-ish. I lose track of how old I exactly was at the time. I was a big TV watcher and I was a big fan of Gilligan's Island. And I kind of had a little crush going on Ginger on Gilligan's Island. And so one night I was asleep and I was having the dream that I always had. I was outside playing on my swing set and I heard a noise. But here this is where the dream was different. I was playing on the swing set with the Gilligan's Island people. Like Skipper was there and Gilligan and the millionaire and his wife and sure enough, Marianne and Ginger. And I was like, Ginger was there and I was all fanboy on Ginger. And I heard the noise and I turned and there it was. And it came running towards me and it got bigger and bigger and it was the wolf. But this time, because Ginger was there, I didn't turn around and run away. You know what I did? I went like this. And I pulled open my shirt and I had a Superman costume on. And I grabbed the wolf and I swung him around and I threw him over the hill. And that was it. I never had the bad dream again. After
Wow.
having it 1,000 times, it never happened again. And then you know what happened after that? Now, when I dream, I know I'm dreaming and I can do whatever I want. I can fly, that's my favorite thing to do. In my dreams, I'll just fly. I'll just jump up like Superman and fly. I know I'm dreaming now. So I've learned that if I can control my thoughts while I'm dreaming, I can control my thoughts while I'm awake. And that's the power that everybody needs to understand. Learn that power, and your life is gold.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't, a lot of people, I can't remember what it's called. I have a disorder where I don't, it's not a disorder. It's just some people's brains work differently, but I don't visualize. When I close my eyes and try to visualize, I don't see anything. And all of my cousins and my sisters have the same issue. It's a genetic thing. Some people can visualize, some people can't. That doesn't mean I can't imagine. I just imagine differently. So when I dream, I don't dream the way that you do. Man,
Interesting.
I'm a little jealous.
Interesting.
I would love to be able to visualize the way that you just described. That would be awesome. But yeah, it's just a brain thing. I mean, neuroplasticity, everybody's brain is different. Neuroplasticity means you can change your brain, but everybody's brain is just a little bit different, and we all work a little differently, but we can learn things. I interviewed a guy back several months ago named Larry Wilson. He's a comedian, and he teaches communication. And he says, and I have quoted him multiple times because this is so profound. And you may know who Larry Wilson is. We're about the same age. He was a big comedian in the 80s. I remember watching him on TV in the 80s. Anyway,
Okay.
Google him. Google him. Anyway, he says that talent is innate. You can't learn talent, but you can learn the skills, right? You can learn the technique. You know, somebody who is just, walks on the stage and glows, you can't learn how to do that, but you can learn how to walk on the stage that way, and you can learn how to say things the right way. But you can't learn you I it's hard to, you can't you, ta talent is innate, technique can be learned. That's the thing. So what you're saying is exactly that. You can learn the technique to attract people to you. You can
You
learn the
can learn the
technique to
technique,
fly when you're dreaming.
for sure. But I disagree with what he said,
You think that
because
talent isn't innate or not?
I certain talent. But you know what? I mean, what type of talent are we talking about? The ability to walk on a stage and light
Or
up a room. Anyone
singing,
can learn it.
and yeah, I think like singing, or people who can pick up a
Well,
guitar and or piano and just play that.
it's,
But you can
yeah,
learn how to play
I
the piano.
suppose. I mean, boy, that's a great
Well,
Zoom for
I
another
mean,
time.
you played baseball, didn't you?
I did.
There are some kids that, just hit it every time, and there are some kids you had to really practice.
That's true.
I
That's
mean, I
true.
think that's
I
what the
was,
difference.
yeah. No, I mean, sure. But yeah, I guess sometimes you just don't have any athletic ability, and you can't do certain. Like I mean, I could never dunk a basketball. I couldn't jump high enough.
But you, yeah, but
I probably
you could
couldn't.
practice and get in, and at least try to come close, right?
I couldn't ride a horse in the Kentucky Derby, Candace. I'm quite certain of that, no matter how hard I practice.
Yeah, you're a little too tall for that.
A little too big.
You're a little too tall
Poor
for
horse.
that.
That poor horse wouldn't make it once around.
I love it. I love it. Anyway, I want to talk about wing addicts because
Okay.
I think this is so brilliant. You took a love of wings and you turned it into a business. To me, that means anybody can do anything.
Anybody can do anything. And I mean, shoot, I had ideas my whole life. I've always been an admirer of like, I love positive quotes, like positive quotes from the great people in time. And and this, again, before the internet, I used to write down quotes. When I was a little kid, we had plaques in our bathroom. Like my mother would put plaques in the bathroom wall, and I'd memorize them. The Serenity Prayer was in there. I knew it. There was another one that said, "Let everyone sweep in front of his own door, and the whole world will be clean." And of course, it's in there. I've never seen it again. I don't know where it is. I don't know who said it, but that was always there. And so I had this idea. You know what? I'm going to come up with all these quotes, and I'm going to put them on plaques, and I'm going to sell them like at a mall or something. Put them in a kiosk. And this was, I mean, I was an adult at this point. Maybe I was 23, 4 years old. And I said, then we can make up plaques with pretty scenery on it and put a quote there that's inspiring and uplifting. And I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And then successories came around. Remember that? I got a million of those. I bought them all. I didn't make any money, of course, because I didn't do it. I didn't take the steps and exercise my own personal power and do it. So I've had millions of ideas. But you know what? When the COVID began, I can't remember who said it, but I heard somebody say during the COVID, when we're all, stuck up in our own house for whatever, we don't know how long it's going to be, and everybody should learn a new skill. Everybody learn how to play the guitar, learn how to play the piano, learn a new skill, learn a new skill, learn a new skill. And that kind of stuck with me. And I'm thinking, learn a new skill. Jeez, yeah, that's a cool idea. What can I do that I could learn a new skill? And I was watching the Super Bowl, and during the halftime commercial, there was at the halftime that they do the commercials, and that's the most fun thing to watch usually at the Super Bowl if your team's not in there. And there were a whole bunch of celebrities, but I didn't know what the product was. And I'm like, what is the product? And I'm what's this about? What's this about? And it turned out it was an ad for Facebook. And I'd never seen an ad for Facebook ever in my life. And it was an ad for Facebook groups. Create a group on Facebook with something that's interesting to you. And I was like, whoa, that's a cool idea. And driving back to my house from the Super Bowl party, I looked at my wife and said, I'm going to start a group and I'm going to create the world's largest groups for chicken wing enthusiasts. It didn't exist. I said, you know, what am I going to call it? Now, this was Monday, the day after the Super Bowl, and I'm sitting there in 2020 was the year. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, what would I call this group? And I said, how about Wing Addicts? All one word. And so I went online and I went to GoDaddy to see if I could get wingaddicts.com. You can't get any dot com. I've started companies before. You can't, anything you want dot com, forget about it unless you want to pay thousands of dollars.
No.
Even you can make up a phony word and you can't get it. It doesn't exist. Guess what?
It was available.
Wingaddicts.com.
I love it.
Available. So I got it. So then I started a group on Facebook called Wing Addicts Community. And then I started Wing Addicts, the actual front-facing Wing Addicts page. Then I did a Wing Addicts YouTube page, Wing Addicts on Instagram. No, the word didn't exist. Very similar to appreciation marketing. When we wrote the book, appreciation marketing was also available. And those when those things happen, maybe it's a little bit of fate, whatever it is, I don't know. But anyhow, my whole idea was this. Most people that eat chicken wings eat the traditional buffalo chicken wings. I mean, if you go out for wings and you get a menu and it's got like 10 different flavors on there, you get the one you know and you like, buffalo wings. Those are like the first ones, right? And I think at the time I started Wing Addicts, I had maybe eaten like four flavors in my whole life. So you'd have buffalo. Everyone's tried a barbecue wing at some point. Probably had a garlic parmesan wing somewhere and maybe a teriyaki wing. You know, everyone's probably tried those along the way. But I said, you know what? I'm going to open up the world to thinking about different flavors, different combinations, different things you can do. And yeah, so here we are now, 4 years later. I got two buddies to come along and do it with me. One is Donnie the cleaner, and he's called the cleaner because he can pick up a chicken wing and just go whoop and pull out just bones
Oh
like
my
Garfield
goodness.
the cat. And then my other partner is Wing Chef Ryan, and he's an actual chef. So he can cook things and he knows flavor profiles and all this stuff. I'm just a guy that runs his mouth and likes to eat chicken wings. And so we started out going to restaurants. And again, during COVID, it just so happened that restaurants had to close. You couldn't go into a restaurant, remember? And but if they closed too long, they would all go out of business. So they tried to have takeout. And so I said, you know what we'll do? We'll go out and we'll highlight and spotlight these restaurants and their wings. We'll make videos and put them all out, and then people will see that they can get takeout and get these wings from this place. So we started what we because we couldn't go into the restaurants, we called it Wings on the Hood. We first called it Wings on the Hood in the Hood, and then we dropped the in the hood part because somebody complained about it. Whatever. So Wings on the Hood, and what does that mean? We'd bring the my, I'd drive a Jeep. We'd bring the Jeep right up to the front of the restaurant. We'd put a tablecloth on the hood. And we go in and order wings and we eat them on the hood with a video.
I love
And
it.
it went crazy. And the owners loved it. And we helped them stay in business. The next thing you know, United States senators are reaching out to us, giving us awards. And we're on all the news stations here in Connecticut. We're on all the, in the newspapers and the Wing Addicts, the Wing Addicts, the Wing Addicts, the Wing Addicts, helping public, helping restaurants, local. Da, 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 da. And so then COVID kind of ended, and it wasn't so much really about highlighting restaurants anymore. We said, geez, how many flavors have we eaten? Because we take pictures of all the wings and we have today eaten 733 different flavors of chicken wings.
I didn't know that was possible.
If I said, Candace, I'll give you $1 million if you can write down 733 chicken wing flavors, do you think you can do it?
I would give it my, I mean, if this is a challenge, I'll try.
It's easy
I
now. If you
got a
go to
pen and a piece of
wingaddicts.com,
paper.
wingaddicts.com, we list all the flavors we've eaten right down there in alphabetical order. So that's
Is
easy
this
now.
gonna make me boring if I tell you that I just like straight up plain chicken wings?
You will be surprised how amazing. I mean, can you imagine? Are you a, do you like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
I used to when I was a kid. Is there peanut butter and jelly chicken wings?
I'm allergic to peanuts,
Yeah,
so I didn't eat
peanuts
it
and I
ever.
don't
But
agree with each other, but yeah.
s'mores, chicken wings. Yes, we had
Chocolate
those
and marshmallow chicken wings.
melted on the top,
And
and
did
you would.
they taste good?
Oh my gosh! How about maple bourbon bacon?
Oh, well, that I
You
can
can eat that.
be totally
But
down with,
yeah, I
yeah.
mean, the craziest combinations. We had a Barbie wing. It was Barbie themed for the movie. It was had pink glitter and some kind of a melted marshmallow, something or other, and Rice Krispies on the top. I ate it. It was good. So yeah,
Wow.
we're just we're our new thing for 2024 is we're going to branch out and create what we call wing trails around the country. For example, the one I just finished up today, but none of this stuff has been published yet. It's not all out yet, but we're about to unveil the Manhattan Wing Trail, which will
Awesome.
show you the dozen or so wing places you can go. It'll have a little scorecard for you, so you can go there and you can have the wings yourself. We'll tell you which ones we suggest, but have whatever you want, and you can give it your own little rating. And if you want to, we started a Wing Addicts app.
It's like the pairing, the little wine and cheese pairings that, if you're
There
going to
you
have this
go.
meal, we suggest you have this wine. If you're going to eat at this restaurant, we suggest you have this wing.
That's exactly right. And by the way, we do drink pairings for wings as well. We have a whole blog about that.
Oh, that is
Yeah, I mean,
outrageous.
everything. I wake up thinking about chicken wings. I'm a complete maniac. I'm pretty sure nobody in the world's eaten more chicken wings than me at more places than me. And I mean, for whatever that's worth.
So if you ever decide to do a chicken wing trail in Michigan, there's a local restaurant here. It's called Cajun Cuisine by Us. Their chicken wings are, I've never had a chicken wing like this before. They are just amazing. So add Muskegon to your trail.
We will 100% have wing trails in Michigan. I actually just finished up on the Columbus, Ohio one yesterday. And so, yeah, it's interesting about wings. You know, they started in Buffalo 60 years ago.
Wow.
60, literally 1964, they started in Buffalo. And you can kind of, if you draw, take a map and you draw a circle around Buffalo, and then you just put little lines out, and you can see where the hot wing spots in this country, where they are. I mean, they go up to Rochester, New York, Syracuse, then, to get over to Connecticut and then Jersey and New York. You can see Ohio. You can see the web. You know, obviously people eat chicken wings everywhere in the country, but the big spots are still really up in the Northeast. That's
Or
where you find,
the
like for
South. The
example, if you're
chicken
in
wings are pretty
Michigan
popular in the
and
South too.
right, but wherever you like, let's say you're in California. You can go into a restaurant and they'll have chicken wings on the menu. Normally they'll be under the appetizers section.
True,
Very
true.
seldom will you see on the menu an actual box that says wings with a whole bunch of flavors listed,
Yeah.
unless you're in the Northeast.
Yeah. Yeah, and that you're right. You're absolutely right. And I never really thought of chicken wings as, because I'm from California. I never
Yeah.
really thought of wings as a meal. I always thought of it as an appetizer.
Yeah. Well,
You're
that's
absolutely.
that's how they started.
Yeah.
That's how they started. And you know what? Here's why I think of them as a meal now, because they cost just about as much as a steak dinner. Prices.
Well, if you're putting marshmallows and chocolate on them.
Well, you know, Candace, chicken wings used to be the throwaway. You'd throw them away. They wouldn't be the part of the chicken nobody would eat. And now they truly are the most expensive part of the chicken.
Really?
That is, oh yeah.
How interesting, because they're just so popular. I mean, you can buy chicken wings. Yeah. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Okay, so really, I mean, the reason why I wanted to talk to you about that was because you took something that you loved and you turned it into this business that just kept giving and giving and giving. And a lot of folks, they're just like, I don't even know where to start. But I didn't even ask you to share how you did it. But you step by step took us through the process of how to launch a business based on a passion. You looked it up. You looked up on GoDaddy to see if the website was available. You started the Facebook group. You got a couple of people together to help you do it. You decide you implemented the system. You went and you ate the wings on the I mean, you took us through exactly step by step what you did to make this work. So, ladies and gentlemen, listening in right now, listener, if you don't know how to start your business, rewind. And listen again, because you have it right there in front of you. I mean, there's other things you have to do, like, register your all that stuff, but all that can be done by somebody else.
Well, you know what though, Candace? Well, here's the other thing that's important, and I've got two business partners, as I told you, and they come from a different background than I do. They both are younger than me. They both have families. Wing Chef Ryan has two young kids. Donnie, the cleaner, has two high school age kids, and they have jobs and responsibilities more so than me. I haven't had a job in 25 years, so I can just kind of, again, let's go back to the first 5 minutes of this, I do whatever I want when I wake up. But when I wake up, I want to get out of bed. I don't sleep in. When I wake, my eyes open, boom, I'm up. I take my dogs out, let them do their business. I come in, I sit down at the computer, and I start doing wing related stuff because I'm fascinated by it. It excites me. But here's what's important. I knew from the beginning that first of all, it was a cause. It wasn't a business. It was a cause. And I knew that eventually, because of who I am and what I think of, I was going to monetize it. I knew that, but I knew it was going to take time. It was going to take a lot of time where I wasn't going to make any money. And it was going to cost me money. And it was
Yeah.
going to be a lot of time when that was going to happen. And see, my two partners, they were all along going, when are we going to start making money? When are we going to start making money? And I'd have to be like, not yet, not yet. Don't worry, don't worry. And then, when are we going to make money? Well, here's when we're going to make money. When somebody in Denver thinks about chicken wings and thinks about us. That's when we're gonna start making money. So how do we do that? We need more people, more people,
Spread the
more people.
word.
We need to collect more people, Candace, just like you like to do. Collect more people. Who likes chicken wings? Most people like chicken wings.
I don't just collect people though, but I connect them. I collect and connect.
Collect and connect.
Connect. When I walked up to you to shove my, I think you were talking to somebody at the time. I shouldered my way into there to talk to you with my two people to connect, to collect and connect.
That's
And
so
now you're
awesome.
on my podcast, dude. There's another lesson there. It's so funny because like 3 months later, somebody said, Candace kind of knew everybody at that event. And I was like, no, I didn't. I just introduced myself to everybody. I
You know
saw
what? Who
somebody in the, yeah.
doesn't want to know somebody who's friendly? And you know what? Let's rewind all the stuff I just told you about starting up Wing Addicts. It's exactly what you probably did to start up this podcast. You know, it's not something that anybody can do it, but everybody won't do it because of what it takes. It takes
Oh,
some a
yeah.
little consistent effort every single day. And you know what? If you're owning your own business and you're an entrepreneur, no matter what you do, and obviously I learned that through network marketing. At first, in network marketing, you don't make anything, and then you make a little, and you have to just continue and continue and continue with the vision that you have. What do you want to accomplish? And you just have to trust the process and understand that if you do the things that you're supposed to do and you just keep on doing them, eventually something good can happen. And if
Yeah.
not, as long as it was fun and you love doing it, nothing's lost.
I obviously love doing this podcast because I think you're episode 206.
That's, oh, baby.
Then the first 20, 25 episodes, it was people I knew. And now I hardly ever ask anyone to be on the show. So I want you to feel very lucky because I never ask anybody to be on my
I
show.
feel completely blessed. And
So
I'm so when we spoke, I was super excited to do it. And you said, yeah, well, my waiting list is like till April. And I said, ah, shoot. Well, I know April's eventually going to come. And I got lucky. So
I'm at June
I.
now, by the way, and you, I, we, I squeezed you in because I had someone reschedule, and I was like, oh, I have a spot. Chicken wing dude.
Here he is.
Hey, chicken wing dude, you want to be on the show this week?
And what kid doesn't grow up saying, when I grow up, I'm going to be a chicken wing dude? Who doesn't say
I love it. I love it. I love it.
that?
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about appreciation marketing because I know the book is old. Like it's more than 12 or 15 years old, right?
Yeah.
But the and is it still in print?
It's still in print. We had it out of Amazon for a while. We're getting ready to put it back in. It is in Audible.
Okay.
But yeah, we still are receiving commissions from it, and Amazon's a funny place. After all these years, you want to keep paying them to store that they charge you to store your books there. They take a huge chunk out of the sales too. So it just was to the point where we're not going to do that. So we for a while we're just fulfilling the orders ourselves, and then it just kind of it just kind of trickled. But you know what? It's coming back up again, and it's coming back into vogue, and I think it's probably more important now than it ever was before. For a lot of reasons.
There, the statistic just blows my mind. Only 3% of companies send thank you cards. And that statistic is just, I don't understand it. Because when I was 18 years old, my very first job was selling women's clothing, kind of not high end, but not cheap clothing. So the middle, the middle. And I'm at the end of it every day, my boss was like, you need to send a thank you card to everybody who bought from you today. And I learned that at 18 years old, right? And it's just in it, it's in me. You're gonna get a really groovy thank you card. It might take me a couple of weeks, but you're gonna get a really groovy thank you card because I say thank you, right? And it just blows my mind that other people don't get how important that is. I got
Yeah.
an email this morning. I got an email this morning that said, thank you so much for the thank you card. It truly is a keepsake. Because
Yeah.
I think if I'm gonna take the time to send a thank you card, it's gonna be a keepsake, right?
I'll tell you what, that's what it's, it's like the chipmunks on Bugs Bunny. Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you. You know what? That's what life should be about. Thank you for the thank you. I was just
Yeah.
looking. You saw me looking around. I was just cleaning out my drawers before, and I can't. I wish I could find it to hold it up for you right now because I just saw it like an hour and a half ago. I had reached out to Chip and Joanna Gaines from the Magnolia Network because I wanted to
Oh,
pitch them
okay,
the
yeah.
idea for me to have a chicken wings show on their network. They're the Fixer Uppers people. You
Yeah,
know
yeah,
that.
yeah.
I think that was their show, Fixer Upper. Anyway. I sent them a card and introduced myself. They got back to me. Then I sent them a thank you card and a box of brownies, and they just sent me this beautiful handwritten thank you with their picture on it and the whole thing. And yeah, so I
No,
met
I
with
want,
Chip
here it
and
is.
Joe. Maybe you'll see me there.
At one point in my life, Jack Canfield, I've told this story on the show a gazillion times. I'm not going to tell it again. But 15, 20 years ago, something like that, Jack Canfield literally transformed my life. And I sent him a card to say thank you. And he sent this back to me, handwritten note back to me. And it's right here. I mean, this is from 2013. So it's 11 years old. And it's right here on my desk. I found it that easily. I could, because it means that much to me.
You want to hear something cool, Candace? When I go out and do, we have done 300 and I think 350 chicken wing video episodes around the Northeast. And every
That's
time
a
we go to a
lot of
restaurant,
episodes.
that's a lot of episodes.
That's
And
a lot of chicken wings.
20 pounds later, my doctor has got a new vacation house because of me, and he tells me to lay off my salt. My high blood pressure is getting up there. But in any event, I always send a thank you card to the restaurant. Thank you for ha I mean, they should be thanking me, of course. But I it's that's not what I wait for. I do the thanking. Thank you
Yeah.
for your hospitality. Thank you for how awesome you were. Thank you for letting us shoot a video in your place. And I always do it every single time. And guess what? Every single time I go back to any of those restaurants, guess what I see right when I walk in the door?
The thank you
My
card.
card on the wall. With Wing Addicts logo on there and the whole bit. So people, I'm sure, look at it and say, "What's that? What's that? What's that? What's that?" That's what it's
Yeah.
all about. And that's not why I do it. I do it because it's the right thing to do. And you know what? People will remember you just like Jack Canfield. Imagine having that warm feeling. Every person that knows you thinks of you that same exact way. It's
Yeah.
not that hard.
Do you
It's
want
not
to, I just want to impress you because you're Tommy Wiseau, so I want to impress you. But in 2021, I told a group of my coaching clients how I had manifested standing on stage with Jack Canfield at this event and then telling him that story and sending him the thank you card all those years later. And I went, if I can manifest standing on stage with Jack Canfield, I could surely manifest speaking on stage with Jack Canfield. Do you want to know how long it took me to speak on stage with Jack Canfield after I said that? 2 months. 2 months.
Universe.
I know. You can manifest anything. You
Yeah.
can manifest anything. Anything.
People don't believe that. See, that's the biggest problem, Candace. People don't believe that. I belong to a mastermind group of five very successful people. We get together on the first Monday of every month, and we share different ideas and things and recipes for success for, and they're very diverse, in their backgrounds and their success stories. And when I talk about that manifestation, we've got two guys in this group who just think it is nonsense. And I love going at it with them, and
Yeah,
they're
but they're probably manifesting all the time. They just don't realize it.
well, they say, well, that's exactly right. And so I
Yeah.
always, when I get people like that, I don't spend too much time on it. I just say my favorite quote of all, you can argue, but you'll be wrong.
I love it. I love it. Okay, but let's go back to the book because if I don't mind, if you don't mind, I would love
Sure.
it if you would share your seven deadly sins. I don't think they call them. I was trying to find a hard copy of your book, but I don't. When we moved, I got rid of a lot of stuff. I still have your book on audio, but I do not have a hard copy of it anymore. So, is it Seven Deadly Sins? It's
The
some
seven deadly creatures.
creatures. That's it. Would you mind
Yeah.
sharing what they are? Because this is brilliant. This is gold.
Well, the seven deadly creatures have actually grown over the last 12 years. I think we're up to like 9 or 10 deadly creatures right now. And, it really is just kind of a funny thing because I like to do everything that's funny. I don't want to preach to people about how you should be and what you should do, but it's easy to preach to people about what you shouldn't do in a funny way because I created these creatures because these creatures are creatures we don't want to be. We all know all of them, and we all have been many of them, if not all of them. And golly, it's been a while since I talked about them all, but I'll go
You
through
have the
them.
book right behind you. Grab it.
That's the audio
That's the
version.
audio version. See, you're in
I
the same boat as me.
have one right up here.
Yay.
Well, I do know the first one because whenever I do a talk, I always start out with it, and I say there's an old aphorism in poker for anybody who's a poker player out there that goes, if you can't figure out who the sucker at the table is in the first 5 minutes, it's you. And so I talk about the sucker, but it's a different kind of sucker. The first creature is the energy sucker, and we'll all laugh at that because we have probably been an energy sucker in our time. Maybe you're in a lousy mood and you just suck the life out of a room or a party or a situation. But we certainly know people that do that a lot. And the energy sucker is just that person who does that. The person who can brighten a whole room just by leaving.
Can I interject there? There was a in my early 20s, I had a really horrible breakup with this guy that was just an absolute jerk. And apparently I was carrying that around with me everywhere. And one of my coworkers looked, I think she may have even put her hand on my shoulder, and she said, "Your energy is affecting all of us." And that was a pivotal moment in my life because I had to snap out of it. And now I know how to check myself.
Well, you know what? Going back to magnetic personality, Candace, if you want a magnetic personality, you have to be somebody who brings value to someone else's world. And if you just walk into a situation and all of a sudden you're a downer, a Debbie Downer, no one wants to be around you. And that kills the whole purpose of, I mean, you can't, be charismatic that way. People want to get away from you. They
Yeah.
want to stay away from you. They don't want to do business with you, and they don't want to invite you to their parties.
Yeah.
So don't be a sucker. Don't be an energy
Don't
sucker.
suck the energy. All right, what else?
We have the puker. The puker is a great one, especially in network marketing circles, but really everywhere. The puker is that person who, when they're in a conversation with somebody, and that certain somebody sparks a little polite interest in whatever it is that they do, or even asks you, what do you do? And you get out the fire hose and you blast them with every single thing you, well, I belong to this company right here, and here's what we do, and we've got this product, and it's life-changing, and you can make extra money, and we found this little herb on the dark side of the moon, and when you take it, you go backwards in age 5 years, and your skin is beautiful, and you puke all over the person, and they just cannot wait to be able to, that elevator door opens, and they can run like
Yeah.
hell to
Yeah.
wherever they're trying to get. So we do that. Somebody expresses polite interest, they ask you a question, and you blast them. That's a hard thing to not do when you're
Yeah.
excited about something.
That's
I
true.
mean, I
That's
catch
true.
myself all the time doing it still.
So I ran a networking meeting on Thursday mornings, and we had a visitor from Italy. Oh, I hope she never listens to this podcast. We had a visitor from Italy. And 5 minutes after the meeting was over, there was an email in my inbox from her selling me her product. Is that a puker or is that a different deadly creature?
That could be a different deadly creature too. That could be like the vulture. People that, they have an ulterior motive. The only reason they were at the event is they want to get business. And you mentioned Ivan Meisner. When you get it into your mind and you understand the concept of being someone who's a giver, a farmer and not a hunter. You're not trying to get from people, you're trying to give to people. When you learn that and you really learn what it really means and you have the patience to be able to do it, that's when you win. Now, yeah, somebody who's looking for business or giving you a website or it's hard to do, but it's something people need to learn. You're right.
So vulture. Okay, go into so we have
Well,
vulture, we have puker, we
how about the whiner? We kind of phased out the whiner a little bit because the whiner is a little bit like the sucker. We know the whiner, the person who won the lottery and they're whining about they have to pay the taxes. It's the person who can, find the black cloud in a silver lining. And
Yeah, I don't
there's so
think
many
I
people.
just have to say we haven't phased out the whiner because there I seems like there are a lot more whiners today than there were 10 years ago.
Oh my gosh,
Doom
everybody's a
and
whiner.
gloom. I mean, I look out, the economy's doing great. We got all this great stuff going on. We've got innovations happening that just things that during the pandemic, things took months that would have taken decades. I mean, just all this amazing stuff happened and everybody was whining about it. It's like, really? I'm excited about all this innovation and change.
You can find something to whine about if you want, or you can find something to be happy about from the exact same situation, and it's a choice.
Yeah, exactly.
People are making the wrong choices. Another
Exactly.
creature is the topper. The topper is an interesting creature. And if you're in a lot of conversations, you probably have experienced this. It's probably happened to you, and you've probably done it too, even by accident. And that's when somebody tells you a story of something they're excited about. And your story, you have a little bit of a better story that you want to kind of throw in on top. The person who I remember, I actually,
Can I say that I know I'm guilty of that?
we're all guilty
I
of it.
know I'm guilty of that.
But we're, it's not, it doesn't come from a bad place. It comes from a, you're excited and you've got a cool story you want to share too. But the when I came up with the topper, it was really interesting. I had bought 100-inch giant screen with a projector, and I had built my downstairs into a giant football theater watching room, and it was amazing with surround sound and the whole bit. And I was out. I live in the woods. I have a long driveway, and I have a big property. And I was in the woods with my chainsaw, which also is a first. A tree had fallen, and I went and bought a chainsaw. I'd never used one in my whole life. And I'm zipping up this tree, and all of a sudden, over my left shoulder, like I see something, and it scared the hell out of me. I thought it was like a bear or a gorilla or something. And I turned around, and it was my neighbor, also in the woods, but like he shouldn't have been where he was, And he had seen me out there working, and he had walked through the woods. Great guy. And he has a knapsack, and he pulls it open, and he goes, "Tommy, can you take a break?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." And he unzips his backpack, and he pulls out a bottle of scotch and two glasses and a little baggie full of ice. And I said, "Herb, am I in heaven? Did I die?
Who does
Did I
this?
kill myself with a
Who does this?
chainsaw?" And we sat down on the tree stump, the log there that I had just cut, and we just started talking, and he says, "Oh, Tommy, I have to tell you about my new toy." And I said, "Oh, what'd you get?" And he goes, "I just got a 65-inch TV with a surround sound. You gotta come over and check it out." And I was like, "Oh man, that sounds awesome." And I'd never been in his house before, and he'd never been in my house before. And I said, "Oh man, that sounds awesome." And he goes, "You got a pretty nice house, a pretty big house over there." He goes, "You must have a pretty good system set up too." And I went, and I said, "Nah, I just have a regular old TV still. I'm old school." I didn't want to take away his excitement about his TV. Mine definitely way better. But what would me saying that, what if I said, "Oh, Herb, I just got the 100-inch with the projector and you should see mine." What would that do to it? I mean, That's just a crappy thing to do to a guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that became the topper. I said, well, that's, I was proud of myself for holding back on that because I wanted to. I wanted to tell him, but he was a nice guy and I didn't want to be that guy. I mean, there's
Yeah.
times when you want to do it, when there's people that are arrogant that you don't particularly care for. Maybe you want to be a topper. I don't know.
Oh, maybe that's when I bring out my topper. I'm gonna have to really pay attention the next time I really want to do it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I won't, I'll kind of, I'll do two more because these are important ones. These two are because I had to have a male and female together. It's halitosis and gingivitis. They're kind of new creatures. Hal and Ginger are about just your personal appearance. You know, the way you come off to other people. Are you the person with the cat hair all over yourself when you're sitting down next to somebody in a restaurant, or
Are
do
you
you have
calling me out,
bad
Tommy? Are you calling me out?
you have bad breath? That could melt the chrome off a bumper. Do you keep yourself all disheveled? Do you make somebody uncomfortable when they're in your presence because of the way you are? Do you smell bad? You know, and that stuff. I think about it all the time. I carry breath spray in my pockets whenever I, just in case. I don't want to. I've spoken to people before whose breath was so bad that was my first impression of them, and that's my only impression of them. I don't like them, and I don't want to. Isn't that
Yeah,
crazy?
yeah.
Because they
Yeah,
have bad breath.
you can't look past the bad breath, yeah.
But you know what? I'm never going to tell them,
Yeah.
so they don't know.
Yeah.
Just like I'm sure I've had bad breath, and somebody didn't tell me. I live in fear of that. So you want to
Yeah.
be you want to be presentable, and finally, this one's one of the ones that came in later in the later printings of the book, and that is Tinkerbell. And I think Tinkerbell is a creature that we all really need to spend all of us more time not being. These obviously are creatures you don't want to be. Tinkerbell is that one who, no, hang on a second. Tinkerbell is that creature who, like, you're in a comp. Hang on. Oh, sorry, it's just text from my friend. You're in a conversation with somebody and they're not present with you at all. They're screwing around on this stupid thing. This is one of the greatest inventions ever known to man, and it's going to be the undoing of civilization and society as we know it.
Yeah.
I have a photo from Christmas. We had Christmas over at my sister-in-law's house, and we were at the kitchen table eating and talking and enjoying ourselves. And all of our teenage, my kids, the cousins, everybody was in the other room. It was quiet as a mouse. I looked over and I saw them all. They were all sitting there like this. And I took a picture right down the line. Every single one of them, just not talking to each other.
I have a story to share. Am I being, I hope this doesn't come off as a topper, but this story is hilarious. So my sisters and I met, this is when American Idol was hot. My sisters and I met in Dallas. My younger sister lived in Portland, my elder sister lived in Atlanta, and I lived in Houston at the time. So we met in Dallas for an American Idol concert tour. And we were sitting next to each other, and we were all on Facebook posting about being at this concert. And my brother-in-law posts, "Aren't you guys sitting next to each other?" Because we were like commenting on each other's posts. We were sitting right next to each other. "Aren't you guys sitting next to each other?" "Yes." So yeah.
So I catch myself sometimes as well. You know, I created a habit a long time ago when I talked about when I created Tinkerbell, and I when I'm in my car driving, like people will be with me in the car and they'll hear the thing texting, bling, bling, and they'll be like, "Aren't you going to get that?" No,
I'm talking to you.
I'll get it
Yeah.
later.
Yeah.
I'll get it later. Who's somebody's calling me? And while I'm dr no, I'm not going to answer the phone while I'm talking to you. I wouldn't. You know, I have the ringer off. You know it.
Yeah.
Especially, it's important when you're raising young kids and they're watching you texting in the car while you're driving.
Oh,
Guess
yeah.
what they're going to do when they learn how to drive?
Yeah.
Danger,
Yep.
danger. So there's that. And shoot, you know what? Our time goes so fast, Candace.
Oh,
I have to just throw in the final funny character because it's just one. It's got one of those ones with shock value. That would be the Facebook ass clown. Can we say ass on this show?
yes, I think I know where you're going with this, and these are my least favorite people.
You know, what we have to understand, it's funny what social media has done to us. Social media has made it so that we think we can say whatever we want and we can be dominant with our opinions about certain things. And especially today, more than ever before, we are in such a polarized world, especially when it comes to your ideas about government and politics. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Yes, you have the right to put anything you want on social media. You have the right to, and I will fight and die for your right to do that. Well, I won't fight and die for your right to do that. Though we have people who will fight and die for your right to do that. But it's a dumb idea because you will lose half of your friends without knowing you lost them. You will lose
Yeah.
half of your connections without knowing you lost them. And yeah, you get excited to post your political comments and beliefs because here's why you get excited about it. Because when you post, "Last night I had chicken a la king for dinner," and you take a picture of it, you get three people who click like. But when you post your political belief, all of a sudden you've got 50 people clicking like, and you got a whole bunch of comments, and that gives you the endorphins and the, oh my God, I'm popular. I'm getting somebody liking what I'm saying. Da, 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 da. You also have half of the people in your network saying, "What a jerk you are." And whether you're a jerk or not, people think you're a jerk today because of what your beliefs are. So don't talk about it.
Yeah.
It's not important. It's not
Yeah.
important. You're never going to change anybody else's mind by saying something clever or, and it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. I have my beliefs too, but you know what? One of my biggest resolutions, which I had like 4 or 5 years ago now, is I'm not going to pay attention to politics anymore, and I'm never going to talk about them. Doesn't matter.
I hope you vote.
I vote, but you know what?
Please don't stop voting. We need people to vote, but we need them to vote their conscience. Not what everybody
Whatever I
else is
do,
doing.
I'm not going to post it on Facebook, I
Oh
promise.
my goodness gracious. All right, we do. Oh, we need to. Oh wow, we went way over. We need to wrap up. So I usually ask my guests what their favorite marketing tool tip or technique is, but I'm pretty sure I know what it is.
My favorite what, Mark?
Marketing tool tip or technique.
It's relationships. It's just people. It's just talking to people and having, you know, care about people for who they are as people, not as what they can do for you. Just if you like somebody, something about somebody, like the person, you know, stay in touch with them, follow their lives the best you can, stay in touch the best you can. It's not easy. I have a hard time with it. There's people that are way better than me at it, but it's all about the people.
That's a good answer. All right. Tommy Wyatt, this is your moment of gratitude. For whom or what are you most grateful?
Oh gosh, I am. Oh God, oh God, boy, that's the hardest question. There's a million things I'm so grateful for. I practice gratitude every single day. Right now, I'm just gonna say my mom, who passed away 30 something years ago now, when I was 27 years old, and she basically taught me to see the joy in every day, to notice the sunset and the sunrise, and shoot, when it's raining and cloudy, notice that it's sunny above the clouds. Thanks, Mom.
Thanks for tuning in to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on Audible, iTunes, Good Pods, or your preferred podcast player. Our theme music is Track 14 by Rev Brock and Soul Lily. Make sure to visit gratitudegeek.com for all the groovy ways to connect with our guest, Tommy Wyatt. I've been your host, Candice Rodarty. Stay groovy, my friends.
Stay groovy, my friends.